Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul declared, quote, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." How much time do you spend each day and each week reading and studying your Bible? It is the Bible that equips each one of us to do the work we've been called to do in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bible now to 2 Timothy chapter 3, that we might understand the necessity of the, quote, "teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness" we get from being in our Bible.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to another teaching. It's a Tuesday afternoon here in Texas, and man, it's just a good afternoon to be loving on Jesus, spending time with Jesus, growing to know him, growing to love him, growing to obey him, and above all, growing to please him in every aspect of our lives. In every aspect of our lives, the goal of our life should be more pleasing to Jesus, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally, in all our relationships, with all our finances, with all our gifts, our talents, our time, everything we do, spirit, soul, heart, mind, and body, really ought to be about being more and more pleasing to Jesus. And listen, I get it. I mean, I've said before, I'd have to take a vacation day to talk about the things I need to improve on. But nonetheless, the more we really understand what Jesus has done for us and living for us and dying for us and being raised from the dead, the more we grow to know him, the greater our heart ought to be for him, to love him. And to love him is to want to please him and obey him, right? So thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So Lord willing, we'll finish up 2 Timothy chapter 3 today. We only have four verses, so 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14, 15, 16, and 17. I study for these. I don't use notes. I study diligently before the teaching, and then I just teach from the scripture, you know, not only what I've studied, but, you know, being led by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, so I'm prepared, but I'm not, quote, locked in. So the teachings like last time, you know, as I was teaching through the scripture, more things were coming to my heart and mind. And so, you know, that's how something like that happens. So, Lord willing, today we'll do verses 14, 15, 16, and 17, and complete 2 Timothy chapter 3. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for this book of 2 Timothy. Father, we thank you above all for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf and in our place that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today, our risen Savior. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We ask you to give us eyes that see, ears to hear, and hearts that understand. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to read 14, 15, 16, and 17. All right, so just remember in, you know, the first part of the chapter, Paul was explaining what false teachers and in the last days and the end times, which we are living in now, Jesus could come at any time. And Paul explains how evil will get worse and worse and worse and worse. And then starting in verse 10, you know, he talks about, you know, how Timothy had been with Paul, how he had been with Paul for years on you know, on mission trips. And, you know, he said in verse 10, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. and so forth. And so Timothy had experienced firsthand not only Paul's teaching and doctrine, but his lifestyle as well. And last time we talked about how it's, as Christians, we have to teach the word of God. We have to hold to sound biblical orthodox doctrine. Orthodox just means true, sound, historical doctrine that all reasonable scholars agree on when it comes to the primary doctrines, the doctrines around Christ and salvation. Secondary doctrines, we can agree to disagree, oftentimes, and they are important. Secondary doctrines are important doctrines, but they're not essential to salvation. And then there's what's called tertiary doctrines, and tertiary simply means third in line. And these are not doctrines that are important for salvation or growth in Christ. They're just simply preference, as I said before. Does the church service on Saturday or is it on Sunday? Do we have chairs or do we have pews? Does it start at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m.? Do you do contemporary worship or do you do hymns? So all of these things are preference, right? So, in verse 13, Paul says, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. 14 to 17, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. And certainly that means the man and woman of God, right? That means the Christian. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And again, these are... Again, every scripture is profound, but the weight of these scriptures, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you notice, without your Bible, without being in the Bible, in the scriptures, you cannot be equipped to work in the kingdom of God, to work for Jesus and to serve him, okay? Because it's the scripture, right? That's the word of God. It has the breath of God. It's been breathed by God. The words are inspired, okay? Not only the author of the scripture was led by the Holy Spirit, but the very words that they said, that the men said, are led by the Holy Spirit. So when Paul writes this letter to Timothy, he's writing a letter to his spiritual son. He's writing from prison, as we've said. He won't get out of prison. This is the second time he's imprisoned in Rome. This time he's in a dark jail cell, chained to the wall. Maybe he's got, chains on his wrists. Maybe he's got 10, 15 feet to walk around. He won't get out of prison. He'll be beheaded from here. But yet the letter he's writing is the word of God, and he almost certainly does not know that, right? He's writing a letter to Timothy, and yet the Holy Spirit is carrying him along and leading him in this. And now this second letter to Timothy, along with the other 26 books of the New Testament and all 39 books of the Old Testament, are the word of God, written down by men, by human authors, but they are the word of God, right? Wow. Okay. Verse 14. Paul says, but as for you, okay, remember 13 says, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, right? You get more and more and more evil when you're not in Christ and when you continue to live in sin, okay? Evil continues to grow when we choose to live in a way that's disobedient to the scriptures, in a sinful way. Deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Paul says to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Now, Paul almost certainly is speaking of himself here, you know, saying Paul, Timothy, when he has doubts, Timothy, it's clear that Timothy doesn't have the gift of boldness that Paul has. Like most of us, Timothy has to really will himself to force himself, you know, into evangelism, into speaking up for Christ. And we can all recognize that, right? No one had the boldness like this man, the Apostle Paul. And so Paul tells Timothy, again, his spiritual son, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." So again, Paul is telling Timothy, remember our time together. Remember what I taught you. Remember the things that you learned. And Paul, again, is certainly speaking about himself, and he very well could be talking about other men of God as well. But Paul says, remember the men of God. Remember their lifestyle. Remember the revelation that you received. Remember the joy. And you ought to have that in your life. You ought to be able to think back on those that have poured into your life and people you've poured into their lives. You know, who is it that can remember learning from you? Okay. Who is it that you've encouraged in Christ? Who is it that you've built up in Christ? Who is it that you could say this to? Right? All of us ought to aspire in our service to Christ and his kingdom to be able to say this. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, because you have been discipled and exhorted and encouraged and built up by faithful men and women of God. And you, in turn, are a faithful man or woman of God, discipling and building up others. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Okay. Are you convinced that Jesus is the Christ? If you're listening to this, almost certainly you are. But, you know, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of, meaning stay in the scriptures, stay in the word of God. And he's about to talk about that. Now, how do you do that? How do you continue in what you've learned and become convinced of? Well, you continue to think about it. You continue to remain in the scriptures. You continue to meditate on the scriptures. You continue in times of prayer and thanksgiving and praise and worship. You continue to talk about Jesus. The name of Jesus ought to be on your lips daily and throughout the day, right? You continue in using your time that the Lord's given you, your gifts and talents, the things you're good at or talented at, and your money in the service of Christ's kingdom. This is how you continue, right? But as for you, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of. The more you do this, the more convinced you will be of the absolute truth of all of this, right? As a Christian is someone who has genuine faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, the salvation of their soul, deliverance from the wrath of God and eternal hell, and to bring them to heaven when they die. A Christian is someone who truly believes that God the Son of God, Jesus, your God, entered this world. They believe that Jesus came into this world, lived a perfect, righteous, sinless life on their behalf. He went on to die a torturous, excruciating death on their behalf and in their place, and that he was raised from the dead. Okay. Do you believe that? Okay. And if you'd say, yes, I believe that, have you received Jesus? Right? John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. Have you received Christ? Are you trusting in him and relying on him? Okay. Again, a Christian is someone who understands their hopeless, helpless, desperate condition. They know that they're sinful. They know that without Christ, only an eternity in hell awaits. And they're literally clinging to Jesus alone in desperation for the forgiveness of their sins and the salvation of their soul. If you would say, yes, that's me, then you're a Christian. Now, you might say, you know what, golly, you know, I believe in Jesus. I don't know all about all that, though. Well, Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not our words that save us, okay? It's Christ that saves us. So it's not just puppeting words. But we do use our words to communicate our heart to the Lord, to Jesus, right? So you can simply humble yourself before him now and go before him in prayer, right? There's nothing we can do to be saved. The best 5 minutes I live would send me right to hell. You're saved by trusting in Christ, by receiving Christ, right? By putting your full faith and confidence in Jesus alone, right? Who lived for you and died for you and rose again. So simply humble yourself before him and call out to him in prayer and just say, Lord Jesus, I do confess that I am a sinful person. Lord, I know that I am a hopeless, helpless, desperate sinner, and that without you, only an eternity in hell awaits. But Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God. And I do believe that you, my God, came into this world and lived a perfect, righteous life for me that I could never live. Jesus, I believe you died that torturous death on the cross for me that I deserve to die. And Jesus, I believe you are alive and risen today. And therefore, I do ask you now to come into my heart. Jesus, I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I ask you to save me from my sin and bring me to heaven when I die. Lord Jesus, I place all my faith and trust and confidence and hope in you alone to save me and to be my everlasting Lord and God. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So again, if you sincerely call out to Jesus, right? When it says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, that's a promise of Scripture, but obviously it's speaking to those who call out to the Lord sincerely and genuinely, not pretentiously, you know, not in a fake way, not in an insincere way, not just babbling words, but if you call out to him sincerely, you will be saved, right? And again, the more time you spend in Scripture, the more time you spend thinking about Jesus, the more convinced you will be and the more you'll grow in your faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wow. All right. Because you know those from whom you learned it, verse 15, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So here we have the first purpose of the Bible. Okay? How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, number one, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The first and primary purpose of the Scripture, of your Bible, before it can be used for anything else, is to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The reason you believe in Jesus, again, is not because your mom told you, your dad told you, your pastor told you. It's because it says it in the Bible. How from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. It's your Bible that says your God, Jesus, came into this world and lived for you and died for you and rose from the dead. You believe in Jesus because it says it in your Bible. The Bible is the word of God, right? It's been said faith is taking God at his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. If you look back, Paul talks about Timothy's in chapter 1, verse 5. Paul said, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also, right? So again, his grandmother first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Lewis and your mother Eunice. So Timothy learned the Scriptures from his parents. You know, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice were both, right, devout to the Scriptures. That's why it says, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. There is nothing better, literally, in the world, ever, that you can do for your children than raise them in the Scriptures. Okay? Now, again, if you say, man, I wish I'd have done that with my kids, okay. None of us have done everything perfect. But if you still have children now, or even if your children are grown, okay, encourage them in the Scriptures, okay? The fact that Timothy was used the way he was used, okay, the fact that he was discipled by the Apostle Paul is in the scriptures. There are two books with his name on it. Okay. There can be no doubt that in great part, this was because he had a grandmother Lois and a mother Eunice who raised him from infancy to know the Holy Scriptures, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. There is nothing in our lives that's more beneficial than spending time in our Bible, reading it, studying it, meditating on it, and above all, obeying it and repenting when we fall short. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The scripture can do us no good until it leads us to Christ. Okay. Again, when someone is sharing the gospel with you, you come to Christ. That gospel I shared with you is the gospel that's written in the scriptures. The good news, right? It's the good news, the gospel that has the power to save us, right? What is it? Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." Okay. The gospel is the power of God. And we learn that from the scriptures. Verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So there it is, all scripture, okay? All scripture, okay? Paul there again is talking about the 39 books of the Old Testament, but now we also have the 27 books of the New Testament. So all 66 books of the Bible are scripture. They are the word of God. Other books, other Christian books are good. We ought to read other books and other authors, but they are not scripture. Okay. They are not God breathed. The Lord may inspire someone to write a book. But not only was the author inspired, every word of scripture was inspired and breathed by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay. And so again, when we read the scripture, we're actually reading the word of God, right? We're reading our Father's letter to us, so to speak. The scripture is our Father speaking to us, right? That's why being in the scriptures is really the first and primary discipline. Now, prayer, prayer and time in your Bible ought to be two sides of the same coin. But yes, spending time in the Bible is a little more important. Why? Because prayer is primarily an exercise of our words to Him, and it's extremely important, right? Where spending time in the scriptures is an exercise of reading His words to us. And obviously, His words to us are more important than our words to Him. Now, I want to say again, prayer is essential for growth in the Christian life, but even a little more essential is time in the Word of God. Mm. All scripture is God-breathed. Look at this. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Okay? When you read your Bible, you ought to read the Bible looking for it to teach you, rebuke you, correct you, and to train you in righteousness. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Okay, the scripture is given to train you and I to live a righteous life, right? To take the time in everything we do to think about what's right, right? Lifestyle righteousness is just someone who has a lifestyle. This word righteousness here is a lifestyle of righteousness that throughout your day-to-day life, you simply have a lifestyle of thinking about what's right in any situation. What's the right thing to think or do? You think about what's right so you can do what's right simply because it's right, right? Righteous. The scripture is useful for training in righteousness so that more and more in every aspect of your life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally, and everything you do, you want to more and more do what's right, right? Okay. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. If you turn to James chapter 1, James chapter 1, you'll see that James says here in verse 22, "Do not merely listen to the word He's talking about the scripture, the word of God. And so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. 24, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he is, what he looks like. Verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, the scripture, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So when the scripture is useful for teaching you, it's not just teaching you about Jesus and the truths of the doctrines of Jesus, which are essential, but equally as important is teaching you to live for Jesus, right? Look what James says. Anyone who listens to the word, the scriptures, but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. What is James saying? What's the purpose of a mirror, right? You know, I've had to be told this many times over years, but the mirror is not given to you to admire yourself, okay? The reason you have a mirror is so that when you look into it, you can see what's out of place and fix it, right? Your hair's messed up, your face is dirty, your teeth aren't brushed, whatever it is. So when you look into the mirror and the mirror shows you, you know, what's out of place, you put it in order. You know, what James is saying is it's the same thing with the scriptures. When you look into the scripture for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, when you're reading your Bible and studying your Bible and you come across something and you say, wow, you know, that's not how I'm living my life, there ought to be conviction, and you simply repent and you make the adjustments. You fix it like you would, you know, your messed up hair or face if you were looking in a mirror, right? James says, if you don't do that, it's like a man who looks in the mirror, sees that his hair is messy, his face is dirty, his teeth aren't brushed, his shirt's wrinkled, whatever's happened, shrugs his shoulder, walks away, doesn't do anything about it, right? He doesn't fix it. Verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, the scripture is the perfect word of God, the perfect law of God that actually gives us freedom, makes us more free when we obey it, right? The Bible's not given to us so that to prevent us from enjoying ourselves. It's actually given to help us live in greater freedom and intimacy and power, right? And continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does, okay? If you want to be blessed in everything you do, then spend time in the scriptures, reading, studying, and obeying the scriptures. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, okay? We need to be rebuked, okay? How many times in my life that I continue to make the same mistake or continue to have the same disobedience, it's embarrassing, right? And so the scripture, you know, we need to be rebuked, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, okay? The scripture is given to correct us where we're out of place. Correcting, and again, we talked about training in righteousness, verse 17, so that the man of God, and this means man or woman of God, anyone who's a Christian, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we'll end there. And I'll say again, you cannot be equipped to work for Christ if you're not spending time in your Bible. Okay. You can still work for him, but the more time you're spending in the Bible, the more thoroughly you're equipped so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, the scriptures are food for your soul. You remember in Matthew 4:4, Jesus said that man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. When you're spending time in the scriptures, you're feeding your soul, right? It doesn't always feel like it's doing a lot, just like when I eat my lunch. You know, when I eat my lunch, scientists say that food is doing like thousands of things in my body to sustain me. It's like, yeah, I don't get it. All I feel when I eat my lunch is like, man, I wasn't hungry. I was hungry. Now I'm not hungry anymore. That's the only feeling I have is I'm not hungry anymore after I eat. But apparently the food is doing countless things in my body that I don't, quote, feel. It's the same when you spend time in the Word of God. When you're spending time reading, studying, and meditating in the Scriptures, it's equipping you and feeding you. Father, we do thank you for your Word. Thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives, Father. Father, again, we thank you for this incredible book of Timothy. Father, we thank you again that we have our Bible. We thank you that this Scripture is God-breathed. We thank you that it's your letter and your book to us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us to spend more time in the Scriptures and spend more time, you know, correcting ourselves and taking the rebuke of Scripture, having the Scripture teach us and train us in righteousness so that we might truly be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord Jesus, we worship you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, seal this message to our hearts now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.